Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go out to the sunny beaches of Cancun. He's nice enough to join us despite being on vacation. We said you don't have to do it, man, but he loves the Chiefs so much. Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from ChiefsOnSI.com, joins us. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I mean, I hope you're just sitting already having maybe a mimosa or something on the beach.
I have taken a few opportunities, not this morning, but so far in the last however long we've been here, 35 hours or something. I have had a few different tequilas, so I am making good use of my time. But not only do I love talking about the Chiefs, I love talking to you, and that's really what's got me here today.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in, man. I definitely do. So the story all week was no doubt the ankle injury, and then it turned out to almost like not be a big deal. Suddenly, once Mahomes opened his mouth and started talking on Tuesday, it was like, all right, yeah, that guy's playing.
Yeah, it's wild, and I don't know, man. Maybe this is a little bit on us that we, and I think we had the appropriate skepticism from the jump that he was going to in any way respond like a normal football player, or even more so a normal quarterback when he did go out with the injury. We knew he could have probably returned to the game, but even then, like, I don't ever want to get numb to what we're watching with Patrick Mahomes, and usually that's a conversation about what's happening on the field. I took it for granted, but I continually tried to remind myself that he is a human being, not an alien sent from another universe to conquer the sport of football here on this planet. But then he bounces back from something like that, and of course we'll see how he looks on that ankle. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more laborious for him, but by and large, man, it really is remarkable that he finds ways to completely change expectations, even for things like injury recovery. It's really remarkable.
The time frame of this whole thing is complicated, though, and that's why I think there was some skepticism, just because, hey, you're going to play Saturday, and we all know they got to play Wednesday against the Steelers. That's been my thought the whole week, though. It's not this game on Saturday is, to me, the one you have to have. We know they only need two of them, but this is the one you have to have, because you win this game, then you only need to win one out of the next two. But also, like, the turnaround from Saturday to Wednesday, not just for everybody that's quote-unquote healthy, but for that ankle, I mean, that thing is going to be barking on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, I would imagine, even if he doesn't get rolled up on again. So that's why I feel like tomorrow is so massive to get the win.
No, I agree. I mean, and obviously this is probably, again, pretty evident, but especially with Mahomes pushing through to play in this game. Like, you could have talked me into some world where Carson Wentz gets the start. It's more of a coin flip type of game. I mean, every Chiefs game feels like a coin flip, so what does that change? But, like, you really go in and say, we're comfortable with the idea of maybe not winning this game for the sake of getting a healthier Mahomes against Pittsburgh, and then knowing we're probably going to have to win this game against Denver. Instead, with Mahomes out there gutting it out, noting that I'm with you, I think he might look more mobile against the Texans than he's going to look against the Steelers on Christmas, depending on especially on how the Texans game actually goes. So being able to watch Mahomes push through this, get Hollywood Brown back, all of the things that the Chiefs are benefiting from, obviously left tackle still a little bit of a loss there because of Humphrey still being out. But to have everything pushed into this game on Saturday where the Chiefs really seem to say, we're going for it, this is a game that matters, we're going to treat it like a game that matters. If they do all of that, push all those chips in, and then lose to Houston, it really would take a lot of air out, because now suddenly you maybe had one or two opportunities to give Patrick Mahomes a little time off on that ankle. Now you're not getting a regular season game off, and the one seed itself becomes questionable, because I think that Steelers game on Christmas is going to be a nail biter. Again, every Chiefs game is, so maybe that's obvious.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Sports Illustrated. Are you with me on DJ Humphreys, where it's like, hey, I want to see one more game from Humphreys? We know it's not going to be tomorrow. Maybe it is the Steelers game. I want to see one more game, because still, I believe their best O-line is Humphreys at left tackle and then Tooney at left guard. Not Tooney did a great job considering what they're asking this guy to do. He's not a left tackle. He's a left guard, and they're asking him to play left tackle. But you go and get average left tackle play from Tooney, and then you get maybe average left guard play, even though Caliendo graded out really well, versus getting average left tackle play from Humphreys and then all-pro left guard play from Tooney. I'd rather have that, and we haven't seen that except for like 3.5 quarters in the first game for DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, I think that that's probably where the Chiefs' head is at, too, in terms of you can either kind of build your – they talk all the time about the best five. You can kind of build your best five by trying to figure out who has the highest ceiling and who has the highest floor. I think the highest floor right now might be Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at guard, and then you just wait and see with Humphreys. But the highest ceiling is certainly, to your point, Humphreys, Tooney, and then the rest. And so I do think – and Nate Taylor said this. I don't know if you've talked to him since this was put out there yesterday, but it sounds like they are expecting to have Humphreys back for the Christmas game at this point. So if you give me Christmas, you see what he looks like hopefully again with maybe a second game of Hollywood with Mahomes on a few more days after the ankle. Again, we'll see how he moves there. I do really want to see that orientation back again. The Cleveland game did make me question what took so long on some level. Like, one, yeah. Morris was clearly laboring through that knee. He clearly was having technical issues on so many occasions. I kind of wish, in retrospect, with the benefit of hindsight, I wish they would have pulled that Tooney lever a little bit earlier, and we'd have a better idea and a larger sample size of what the Tooney-Caliendo tackle-guard combo would be. But I think you're right. I think the Chiefs are on the right track. I think Humphreys and Tooney on Christmas is the best-case scenario. Let's see how it looks. And there's very, very, very little time to waste there, which is why this hamstring injury is so frustrating.
What do you make of the Texans? We're going to talk to someone from Houston a little bit later on this hour, but this was a team that, you know, is 9-5. They're going to probably be locked into the 4 seed, basically, with the division that they're in and everything and in their record. But they don't look as dangerous as some people thought they were heading into the playoffs last year, and that was rookie year of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, no, they were the team for me that maybe I overbought a little bit of a hype on, because it's very easy to project a second-year jump for a young quarterback and for a team that has kind of proven itself as legitimate. And the Texans are a legitimate playoff team, right? I mean, their division has given them some favors this year, too. But you mentioned it right at the top of this segment. Watching C.J. Stroud battle with his own offensive line and then battle with blitzes, and then within the context of that, what simulated pressures are doing to Stroud and can do to this offense right now, I think is a Steve Spagnuolo recipe for success. You can, hopefully now with some more from Charles Aminihu as he continues to ramp up, you have a competent four-man pass rush, which they didn't have for the first act or couple acts of the season. I think you have a chance to get pressure with four against that offensive line in a couple of soft spots, let Chris Jones demand the attention and push there, and then Spags can dial up blitzes as opposed to almost defaulting to them, which it feels like he's been doing for large portions of the season when the four-man rush was disappointing. So I am a little bit, like, you know, super removed from the Chiefs side of it all. I'm a little disappointed in this Texans team this year, because it did feel like they were kind of going to be the next team that at least joined the next tier of AFC contenders that might be a little bit frisky in a playoff game. Noting who the Chiefs are and who they've been this year, I'm not in any way overly confident that they're going to win this football game, but I have really had a lot of air left out of that Texans hype balloon for me this season.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe from Sports Illustrated. You brought up the defense and getting after C.J. Stroud a little bit. I think it's been very clear since Aminihu came back that this defensive front has had a lot more success. You got to explain something to me, though, about Josh Uche. I think you're – so here's the thing. I disagree with you a little bit. I at least got to explain to me why – I heard you're frustrated by it. Someone's got to explain, why is everybody so bent out of shape about this? They took a flyer – on a guy from New England they wanted to get rid of for a couple picks 2 years from now. We all, I thought, agreed that it was a flyer. I did think he'd be playing more too, but like, why is everybody acting like this is like the worst thing ever, and how could they not be playing this guy? It was a flyer for a reason.
I think it's because of how the Chiefs have handled these flyers. They took a flyer on Cam Thomas at roster cutdowns, and he played more snaps against the Chiefs for the Browns than he played for the Chiefs this year. Last year, they do a similar thing for Neil Farrell. He barely ever sees the field, right? And like, even this is a little bit different, but like spending a draft pick on Keandre Coburn, they're like having a sixth-round defensive tackle. Again, we're talking about late draft pick stuff, but it seems like there's some sort of disconnect in how the defensive line is put together and what Steve Spagnuolo wants. And the thing with Uche in particular, that's outside of just the pattern of everybody else, is that he is such a different type of player, that he does have such a different speed, a different flavor from anyone else in this pass rush. This pass rush has looked so stale for so much of the season. Again, Aminu helps that severely. But I can only watch Mike Dana and George Karloftis slowly walk back tackles while Chris Jones gets hit by like four dudes in a sledgehammer, while Derek Nnadi or Tershawn Wharton's getting one-on-one held up in the middle, without thinking, man, it'd be cool for this defense to get a little bit of speed off the edge. But Spags does not seem to really value speed off the edge, bending around that corner. And that's what Uche does well. And we knew that before they traded for him. So my levels of frustration there are that Uche, I think, legitimately has something that no one else on this pass rush has, that the Chiefs did go get him knowing he's a half-season rental at best, and then the Chiefs, he got here, and I think Spags or whoever has said, I don't really see room for him in the rotation right now. I want Mike Dana out there setting the edge 80% of the snaps if I can get him. That's an exaggeration, but it's not for
Karloftis. I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you on the speed point. There. I hear you on the speed point. He's definitely got a different skill set than what they have. I guess my only pushback would be, hey, the last three games in particular, this defense is playing some of their better football, right? And I think Charles Aminu is a huge, huge part of that. But Spags, to me, kind of has them rounding into form a bit. And that's not to say they're going to be the same level of defense that they were a year ago. They're not. But this defense is certainly trending in the right direction, and especially if suddenly they can get these takeaways.
100%. I think the ceiling rises when you have a speed edge rusher who could be out there. And frankly, like, I don't necessarily want to make this about this player because we've spent plenty of time over the last couple of years talking about him. But I think if Joshua Uche was a first-round pick and Felix Anyudike Uzomah was a late midseason flyer, I think Uche would be out there.
That might be fair. Yeah, that might be fair as they continue to try to develop Felix. I think organizations do that quite a bit, so there's probably some truth to that as well. Let me ask you, though, just about the rest of the NFL for a second. We last night saw a pretty good Thursday night game with the Broncos and Chargers. Neither team seems like they're playing at the level they were like 3 or 4 weeks ago, yet the Chargers have a 97% chance or so to make the postseason. The Broncos, I still think, ultimately get in. Do you think either of those teams can win a playoff game on the road?
I think the Chargers, I think they can. Obviously, the matchup and stuff will matter. I think the Chargers can, and I think it's partially for what you saw a little bit of last night, which is that sometimes you get two pretty good teams, and then the one that has a superhero playing quarterback gets some incredible throws in a couple of huge moments, and then that team wins a game that it probably shouldn't have won. So I think Herbert gives them the leg up that the Broncos just don't have in any singular dominant place like that, while Bo Nix was out there throwing passes horizontally and backwards by and large. I think what Herbert was able to do, and what he's able to do pretty frequently, is incredible. I know Herbert, especially in Kansas City, doesn't have the most glowing reputation because his team hasn't had a whole lot of success, but it was around this time last year, maybe in the same week last year, that the Chargers gave up like 60 to the Raiders in that game, right? They're in a very different place. They have a better head coach, and they have a quarterback who's actually got a team around him now. So I do think the Chargers could be a little frisky. I'm not super convinced about Denver.
All right, well, let you get back to the beach, man. Are you just lounge on the beach, relax, enjoy some relaxation overall? Are you going through zip lining through the forest or something?
No zip lines here today. Typically, my wife and I have been kind of trip planner, so like we'll go and do a bunch of activities and whatnot. But this one in particular, that we had a little Black Friday deal that popped up. She'd been keeping an eye out. This is pure relaxation, baby. So
there
I'm hoping the Chiefs don't ruin it for me tomorrow. And I can't go touch as much grass as I could at home, but I'm gonna go touch some sand and try to recenter myself before the playoff.
There you go, man. Appreciate you calling. Enjoy it. Seriously, happy holidays as well. That's Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor.